This message was recorded live at Lighthouse Christian Center in Puyallup, Washington, and is designed to inspire and encourage you in your Christian journey. To find out more about Lighthouse, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org.
You know, I was writing my sermon last Wednesday. We just finished this series in the book of Joshua, and we are going to go talking about the Holy Spirit all summer on a series about the Holy Spirit. And I had everything all planned about how to talk about graduation and new beginnings and all those things. When I got the phone call early Wednesday, the news that one of our brothers in Christ here at Lighthouse, David Thorpe, had died early Wednesday. And of course, as pastor, that's one of the most difficult phone calls you can get because your heart goes out. He was 56 years old. He loved the Lord. He was active at Lighthouse. He was really a sweet man. And his death was totally unexpected, and his dear wife, Madeline, is now a widow. But friends, that's part of what life is about, isn't it? We lose sometimes people that we love. And I could tell you story after story of those kinds of losses. I don't tell them to depress you, however. In fact, I'm hoping to encourage you today, actually. That's my whole purpose today. But I want to say, and we've got to accept this, the worst can happen, can it? The worst can happen. That is, someone that we love can die. Now, most of us, if we're younger, we've experienced the death of some distant aunt or some, you know, we've had death. But what I'm saying to you is, if you live on the planet long enough, somebody that you truly love is going to die. The Bible does not hide that, guys. The Bible is not trying to sugarcoat it at all. And sometimes, well, we don't want to talk about it. It's like, man, if we talk about this, somehow it will come or something like that. But no. You got to take a scriptural viewpoint on this, would you? What does the scripture say in Hebrews 9? Every person is destined to die once. And after that, to face judgment. That's God's destiny for you, man. You got to die. And he has the time picked out according to Psalm 139. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to pass. So, man, listen, guys, here's the newsflash. I want you to know that God had your date of birth and your date of departure from the planet already in his book. So talking about it is not going to hasten it, I can tell you that. It's in God's hands. So what I want to do this weekend, and I want to do it for your help, to help you, is to help you know, what am I going to do when perhaps the worst happens? When I lose someone, maybe that's close to me, how do I handle that? And so I'm just a practical guy, looking through scripture and looking through my own experience. What are three things you're going to be able to do that are going to help you through your time of loss? Well, the first thing I want you to do is this. Would you express your grief? Not stuff it. When you lose someone, you have a lot of strong emotions. There are, of course, a terrible sense of loss, but also sometimes you feel anger, resentment, all kinds of things. And here's the deal. If you don't handle those feelings, if you don't process those feelings, if you don't work it through, somehow it's going to take you a lot longer to get through it. Think of it this way. If you had a wound in your body, you would think, I know what to do. If certain conditions are met, that wound is likely to heal. For example, if I wash the wound out, if I pull it together, get it stitched, if I put disinfectant on it, the wound will heal. Well, God made your spirit, your mind, to be able to heal too from trauma. And there are certain conditions when they're met, with God's help, you tend to heal. So what I'm saying is, man, it's appropriate to grieve, and it's appropriate to express your grief. See, grieving is really all about the process in which you just learn to live without the person that you've lost. It's a process. It's you keep working until there's closure. And what you have to do is you have to let go with one hand that person that you lost, and simultaneously you learn then to embrace the new things that God has for you. It's a difficult, difficult process, but that's what it is. Now, some of you are saying, well, Art, does the Bible really allow us to grieve? I mean, is that part of trusting God? Well, yeah. I think very clearly, sometimes we think, well, look at Job. He just said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hey, that's true, And that was a good sentiment for him to make because he's a strong believer. But look at the 30 chapters after that and see if Job had some feelings about his losses. Yeah, I think so. So friends, we're not machines. And that means that we've got to process our feelings in a severe loss. 1 Thessalonians, of course, tells man we need to grieve. Proverbs or 1 Thessalonians, look what it says. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. So Paul wasn't saying don't grieve. He was saying don't grieve like the rest of men. It's perfectly appropriate to grieve. You grieve with the certainty that there is a God in heaven and that one day we'll all be with him, those of us who know him, and that there is a sovereignty in the way events unfold in our life. Grieve with hope. That's what he was saying. So, and of course, Romans 12 tells us that we can mourn with those that mourn. So again, there's a lot of affirmation for this in the scriptures. So the question is, though, what does grief look like? I mean, here's what I've learned from God's word and from my own experiences over the last 30 years of pastoring. Grief is a little bit different for every person, how it's expressed. It's a little different for every person, but you must actively process your grief. You work through it, now get this, as you talk about your loss to the people who love you. That's one of the most important ways in which you process what's going on inside you. Two things happen when you talk about your loss. Number one, man, you get in contact with your feelings. Do you realize that you can never know yourself by yourself as well as you can know yourself in conjunction with another person? Just can't happen. Those of you who are married know this. You know yourself better because you talk about what you're thinking with your spouse all the time. And you know, then you become aware, man, I didn't know that was there. And that's certainly true in grief. You don't even know what's there. But learning to talk about it and talking about it will help you. And then secondly, you open yourself to the comfort and support of others. And that's so important. So talk about it. And who do you talk about it to? First of all, talk about it to God. And what I mean by that is just simply, you know, he loves you more than anybody. So pour out your heart to him. That's what Psalm 62:8 says. Trust in him at all times. O people, pour out your hearts to him. In other words, make sure you express your feelings to God. Pour out your heart. Why? 2 Corinthians tells us that God comforts the downcast. The Psalms tell us that God is very close to the brokenhearted. So when you come to God, you get his comfort. You get his perspective. It's so important that you pour out your heart to him. Now, guys, can I be truthful here? At the beginning of a loss, if you lost someone who you love, man, because you're hurting, you feel numb, you feel distracted, and it's hard to pray even. I mean, those of you who've lost people, you know what I'm talking about. It's hard even to pray. C.S. Lewis wrote a book called A Grief Observed. Some of you read A Grief Observed? It's really just a journal about C.S. Lewis's grief process after he lost his wife to cancer. He writes this. He wrote this about his feelings right after she died. There is a sort of invisible blanket between the world and me. Now, that's how it feels when you've just lost somebody. There's kind of an invisible blanket. I can't take it all in. So that's true of God. So here's what I'm going to suggest. Man, just because you're distracted and you don't feel like you can pray very much, don't not connect with God. Just pray in sentence prayers. Like you just pray as you can, not as you can't. Just say, hey, Lord, help me. Just talk to God in that as simply as you can. Lord, this feels so bad right now. That's all you have to do. Now, a year later, I don't want you to be praying that way. A year later, I want you to be actually keeping current with God. I want you to be able to talk with him about what's going on. So, first of all, talk with God. Second of all, talk to the people who love you. That's probably friends, it's family. And here's what I want you to talk about among other things. Now, you're going to talk about all kinds of things. Here's two things you need to talk about to process your grief. First, you talk about the person you've lost. Just believe me, talking about that person helps sum up their life. And what happens, it helps you ultimately to release them. But then secondly, you talk about how you're feeling at the moment. And that, I'm talking about all the way through your process. All the way through. Now, in the beginning stages of grief, you know what? Talking about that person you loved so much is a wonderful part of the grief process. Go ahead and express those memories. As they bubble up to the surface, you talk about them to the people in your life who are loving you. And as the grief process continues, keep talking about that person. Again, it's part of closure. It's part of letting go with his hand and reaching out with his hand simultaneously. It's got to happen. And then later, make sure you're willing to say to your people who are around you, here's how I'm feeling now. You see, it's pretty obvious how somebody's feeling the first month of a death, isn't it? We all know about that. What about 9 months into it, a year into it? We may not know how you're feeling unless you tell us. So if you're missing your wife or your husband or your son or whatever it would be, 9 months into that grief process, and somebody asks you, what are you thinking? Please do not say nothing. You know, that will not help you. What I'm saying is, you better process your grief. You better express your grief. Because that's what will help you get closure in the whole process. Now, congregation, think about it right now. Don't say anything, but think about it. How long do you think the average grief process lasts? Think about it. How long would that be? Just the loss of somebody. Well, clinicians tell us the average loss is about 2 years. That is, that from the time somebody dies to the time that they are perhaps coming out of that and able to do some other things in their life, that's 2 years. And if you think about it, I can tell you from a standpoint of a pastor, the first year of the loss is the worst. Sometimes people have told me, I feel crazy. I'm standing in the kitchen thinking about what to have for dinner. I can't think of what to have for dinner, so I start crying. That's the kind of thing that happens in the first year of grief. You're just, again, it's overwhelming. Now, here's what's going to happen, though. And I want you to know this. You remember this. By the end of the second year, you are not back to normal, but you are at a new normal. Does that make sense? Now, you know, people say, well, hey, it'll get back. No, it's never going to be normal again, but you're going to be at a new normal. You're going to have brought closure. You're going to have let go and then embraced at the same time. And so by the end of the second year, often that person is able to go ahead, and part of how they do that is just being able to express their grief and not stop it. To be open with people, to be open with God. Remember that as you move through your process. Number two, okay, express your grief, don't stop it. But number two, receive support, don't isolate yourself. Now, some of you are natural isolators, I know that. You're all self-sufficient, etc. One of the things that puts joy in my heart is when I see people coming along, another brother or sister in Christ, when they're in pain. And even this week, I know for Madeline that has happened. Couples have come alongside her, and she's received their support. Now, sometimes people say, well, I don't want to be a burden. I predict there's some people in here that if you lost someone a few months later, you would say, well, I don't want to be a burden. I don't want to do that. Well, let me help you there. Can I do that? Let's look at Galatians 6:5. Look what it says. For each one should carry his own load. You see, the Greek word for their load is just the common word for any burden. It's like saying, every one of us should carry our everyday burdens. So, you know, my friend Dave, I don't want him coming to me, all right, I got a hangnail, you know, give me a little zip. No, carry your own hangnails, man. I mean, I'm carrying mine, okay? But look at Galatians 6:2. Carry each other's burden, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. That sounds the very opposite, doesn't it? But look, you know, you should know that the Greek word for burden there means literally a heavy weight, an oppressive burden. And I'm here to tell you guys, there'll be time in all of our lives when we have a heavy weight, an excessive burden that we cannot carry on our own. And it's that time you've got to have people around you who can support you. And by the way, that's one of the reasons that I want you to be in community. You know, the time to get support is not the time when you get hurt. The time that you need to develop those friendships, man, are way before that. And then they're there when you do need them. So when you're grieving, here's what I say. Just do everything you can to move toward people rather than away from people. And ironically, that's the very time when you want to hide. I mean, it's the very time when you just want to go into some dark hole and not have anybody bother you. Now, as a matter of fact, here's what C.S. Lewis wrote about his experience. Just a couple months in, he said, "I find it hard to take in what anybody says, or perhaps hard to want to take it in." I mean, it's so uninteresting. Yet I want others to be about me, to be with me. I dread the moments when the house is empty. If only they would talk to one another and not me. I just think that's refreshingly honest, isn't it? Because sometimes when you're in grief, you don't have the mental energy even for a conversation at the very beginning. So notice he didn't talk much at the beginning, and yet he wanted people there to support him. When I encourage people to do in grief, then is move toward people. I know that that is healing in people's lives. Now I want to talk to those of you who are going to offer the support. Okay? When we get a loss in our life, we need support. Now I'm going to talk to all of us about how to give it. Now, Christians, the first thing you got to do is, if you're going to give support to the people who are in loss, just remember all the one another scriptures in the Bible. There are so many one another scriptures. Encourage one another. Love one another. I just read one of them here. Carry one another's burdens. Be kind and compassionate. If you just think about these scriptures, often you'll get it. But let me give you a few suggestions too. If you're going to support somebody, here it is. Give them your presence and your touch. Man, it is so important. Mourn with those that mourn. And that means somehow you're helping that person to know you are aware of their pain, that you are with them in their pain, and that you do that often at the beginning with a lot of hugs, a lot of pats, a lot of I love yous, a lot of just I'm here for you. And it's so important that they know that you are there. I think one of the difficulties Naomi and I had in our grief 20-something years ago when our baby died was that we moved right after that happened. And so the Christian community was not around us to know that we were in pain. See, that's one of the great things that aids you in the process of grief, that kind of support. And often the touch and the presence is so important. I remember many years ago being with a woman in the hospital. Her son and husband had been on three-wheelers out. And her son had had an accident, and the three-wheeler had come on top of him. And he was in the hospital. It was very, very grim. And I'll never forget when the doctor came out and he said, "I'm so sorry, but your son has died." And what this lady did, and she was a great Christian lady, wonderful, neat gal. I can only describe it as this. She just wailed for 20 minutes. And that's all. She just wailed and rocked. And so what was I going to do there? Try to intervene and say, "Well, now you got to know that, you know." No, no, no. All I was going to do is put my arm around her and let her rock into me, okay? And that's what you got to do. I got to let them rock into you. That's your support that you give. And often it is really about your presence more than anything else. Now, your presence says, I'm there with you, and it's demonstrable. Okay, now, the second thing that I want you to do is on-the-spot prayers. And what I mean by on-the-spot prayers is this. I want you to pray out loud for people who are grieving. I want you to be there with them, put your hand on their shoulder, and I sometimes want you to pray for them. Now, I know you're going to pray for them in the prayer closet, but pray for them out loud when they're there. Why? Because it gives comfort. Are any of you comforted when somebody prays for your heartfelt prayer of love? I am. And so when you are there, you can pray that God's grace will touch their lives. And you're bringing them to the Lord in a time when they find it very difficult sometimes to even feel the Lord. Okay? So, okay, let's think about it. What helps that grieving person? How are you going to help them, support them? One, you give them presence and touch, on-the-spot prayers, and then I'm going to say one other thing. Would you give them listening words or listening ears and encouraging words? Listening ears, encouraging words. Now, I've already pointed out that grieving people need to talk. So I think, isn't it logical that if somebody needs to talk, they need somebody to listen? It is. So you just do a lot of listening. Proverbs 20 tells us that the purposes of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws them out. I think there are a lot of deep waters in the heart of someone who's grieving. Please listen. If you'll do that, tell me about your son. Tell me about your father. Tell me about your mother. And then listen. Secondly, grieving people do need our words of encouragement, but let me tell you, let me give you some counsel here, all right? I can tell you I've made most of the mistakes I can make about in this way. First of all, it's be wise in what you say. And what I mean by that is please avoid cliches at all costs. Things like, this too shall pass. You know, they're in a better place. Please never say that to anybody. The first several days after they have somebody leave, they're in a better place. Don't say it, okay? How about this? Everything happens for a reason. Yeah, don't say that, okay? How about this one? There'll always be another baby. Yeah, you big groan, big collective groan, but that is said to sometimes young mothers. So most, and you know what, most reason the cliche is so destructive is because it comes across as just something to say because you don't know what to say. And so they realize that, oh, he doesn't know what to say. They're just saying this cliche that means nothing, of little encouragement. And really, it almost sounds like we're saying, put on a happy face now. It'll be okay, you know, I mean, so it never helps them. So just be real, be compassionate, express your love to them. I love you so much. I'm so sorry. You don't have to solve it. Talk about your memories of that loved one. Offer words of compassion. And later, when they can hear it, later on in the process, certainly there may be time to bring God's perspective in. Think of it that way. I'm going to try to help them get God's perspective. But that's got to be later. So it's not only what you say, but it's also, please, be wise in when you say it. People vary here, but a grieving believer really finds it very difficult to hear anything for a long time. And in fact, let me quote C.S. Lewis one more time. He said this about his grief. You can't see anything properly while your eyes are blurred with tears. And Lewis is so right there. Somehow when our spiritual eyes are full of tears, it's hard to hear the words. There's time to talk about the deeper spiritual issues. There's time to do that. But please, don't do it when your friend's eyes are blurred with tears. Then they just need comfort. They need your arm around them. They need your words of love to them. That's what they need, and that's what you'll need when it happens to you. Just 3 months after, here's a mistake, just 3 months after the death, we had a ministering to a couple who had three children die in a car accident. Three of their children. 3 months later, I was there in their home. They wanted to talk. But as I walked out, and I think Scott did something, but as I walked out, I really realized, here's what they heard when I heard me speak. Wow, 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 wow. That's what it sounded like to them, probably. It was just too early. There was a time to talk, but make sure that the time is right, and it can't be probably after it's so raw. And then, what do? Express your grief. You receive support. Those are two things that you need to do. But now I'm back to, if you lose somebody, what's the third thing that you can do for yourself? Guard your heart. Don't give in to bitterness. You know, our inner lives are so important in the months after we lose somebody. Proverbs 4 gets at it. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And I'm here to tell you that your heart is one of the most vulnerable things when you grieve. When it says guard your hearts, it's saying be careful about what you allow to rumble around in your brain month in, week out, month in, month out. Be careful about how you, what perceptions, how you're evaluating what you're perceiving. Be careful what's going on in here. Guard your heart. Why? Because that heart will take you somewhere. Look what it says. Hey, it determines the course of life. So what happens in severe loss is most of the time, either people pull close to God or they drift away. And I'm saying, please, you know, hear it right now. Hopefully you're not in loss right now, but hear it right now. Listen, when you are in loss, guard your heart. Remember that 1 Thessalonians said that we grieve with hope. That's really what it's talking about. Grieve, if you grieve with hope, you're guarding your heart. You're grieving in light of eternity. You're grieving in light of eternal values. And really, 2 Corinthians 4 talks about those values. I want to read it to you. What it says. For God made his light shine in our hearts. We have this treasure in jars of clay. We know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Look what it says in verse 16, don't lose heart. Somehow, Paul was able not to lose heart in the deepest of pain. Why is that? Well, it can only be this. He's holding on to an eternal perspective. He tells you about it. We fix our attention not on things that are seen, but on things that are unseen. Now, some of you are going, Art, this is unhealthy. Are you going to ignore what's happening? No. I'm not saying ignore what's happening. Look what it's saying. It's saying don't fix your attention on what's happening. In other words, value eternal, what's true eternally, even more than what's true temporally. Understand that God is saying here is even more important than what is happening. And God says, what does he say? There's a resurrection one day that all of us who know Christ will be in heaven. He says, hey, remember again that I'm the sovereign God who determines the time of death. Keep an eternal perspective. Think that way. And if we fix our attention primarily on the things we can see, we're going to lose hope. Why? Because they're only temporary, guys. If you place your hope in what you can see, it's all going to burn up one day. You know that beautiful house you're living in? It burns up one day. You know that antique car you got in your garage that you so cherish? It's going. And that includes your body. And in fact, in this passage, I love this image. It's one of my favorites in Scripture. Paul, right here, calls our bodies jars of clay. Why does he do that? He's using a metaphor. He's saying, your body is like a jar of clay. And a jar of clay would have been in every home in Israel. It was just a common clay pot. That's really what he's saying. And then he's saying this. Here's this common clay pot, but in that, something very precious. The human spirit. Isn't it just like God doing something so mysterious? Here is this mortal body that one day gets blown away inside something of eternal value, our spirit. And if we don't have that perspective, man, we are not going to grieve with hope. When it comes down to it, we've got to know who we are, believers. And that's why, when it comes to it, there's got to be an eternal perspective on the whole deal. You know, Naomi, my wife Naomi, knows this is one of my favorite passages from the Narnia series. And C.S. Lewis wrote this. In the last book, he has this beautiful, you know, it sounds really bad. All the children die in a train wreck. You know, it sounds really bad. But this is what is said about their death. Here's what they find out about death. All their life in this world had only been the cover and the title page. Now, at last, they were beginning chapter one of the great story, which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. And what he's saying, of course, is this life that we live on is like the cover and the title page. That's all this life is. Eternity is chapter one of the great story that goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. That's comforting to me. And it's entirely consistent with Scripture. The death of your loved one is always going to be a tragedy. But you know what would be a greater tragedy? If your loved one loves Jesus, it's a tragedy when they die. But what's a greater tragedy? If your heart would sour on God. Believe me, that'd be a greater tragedy. Your heart would somehow be permanently crippled because of that death. And the reason I decided to talk to you about this is, man, I want you to know that. So believers, if you're experiencing grief, would you guard your heart by doing this? Would you do the best you can to keep up your spiritual disciplines, come to church, read any passages of Scripture that are very helpful for you? I know you can't read a lot, but read as much as you can. Keep in fellowship with God's people. That is, go to groups if you can that you're associated with. Talk to the people that love you. Be honest with God. Talk to Him a lot. And that's how you will continue to get that eternal perspective that's so important. So, believers, I know it's been a tough morning, but we're going to lose somebody we love sometime. And I want us, when that happens, to be able to go through the process where we are able to release that person and then be open to all the things that God has for us in the future. And part of the ways that you do that, man, is just express your grief. It's receive support. And it's guard your heart. And you do those things, man, you will be helped through the process of grieving. That's what I would like to see for all of you. Believe me, one day, all the tears dry up. But God doesn't say they're dried up on this planet. Tears are appropriate in loss. They're the right thing to do in loss. But let's not stay there with God's help. Let's go through the process. And let's pull close to Him in the days to come.
We trust you are inspired and challenged by this message. For additional resources and information about Lighthouse Christian Center and its ministries, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org or contact us at 253-848-2028.